Mother's Day just around the corner. Call Kuhn Flowers and send Mom a beautiful floral arrangement. She'll love it and she'll love you. This is Dan Hicken, and Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
And now, Rick Ballew takes you into the night on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, here we go. 7 o'clock, our final program before tomorrow night's draft. Time to finally lay it all on the line, and that's what we will do tonight. The months, and frankly, we spent way too much time on it this year than we did at least the year previous to that because of the great run in the AFC Championship game season of 2017. But, you know, I think we were forced to hop on to the NFL draft a lot earlier than any one of us right now listening had planned. And that was due in part because of a 5-11 season, just an awful one for the Jaguars, and that's the way it is. Tomorrow night, for just about every team in the NFL, should be a night in which you're happy. You should fill some serious needs over the next 3 days, and it all begins tomorrow night. And I've wondered openly about the buzz material that this year's selection is actually going to provide the Jaguar listening audience and the non-listening audience. I just wonder what is going to happen. But nonetheless, we'll get into it tonight. Final opportunity. We'll make our picks coming up here a little bit later on the program. We're going to get things started right out of the gate as we go into the night with Rick Ballew, our good friend Russ Landy, who I work with at the Sporting News back at the turn of the millennium. Does an outstanding job with his draft analysis. He's coming up in less than 20 minutes to join us tonight. Yeah, get kind of the latest that, you know, is being kicked around at this particular point, offensively and defensively, and, you know, what is going to happen as far as the top prospects and players who are expected to go tomorrow night. You know, if we've learned anything this year in the NFL, it's have we possibly gotten away from, I don't want to say adage, because the old adage is defense wins championships. But here we are in a scenario or in a world where teams are putting up 400 yards passing and nearly 500 yards per game. And it's almost college football-like numbers, video game-like numbers. The Super Bowl 2 years ago, Jaguars quarterback Nick Foles, what, 41-33? Philadelphia over New England. And it's about having wide receivers and makeshift tight ends and backs who can both run the football and catch it out of the backfield and, you know, just outscoring your opponent. Yet you look at the Jaguars, and they tailed off by 10.8 points per game. That is almost unheard of. That is almost impossible to drop off on your scoring average based on a 16-game season by nearly 11 points in 1 year. And that's what the Jaguars did. And the Jaguars were able to maintain top five statistical categories in just about every key defensive statistic outside of rushing defense. I mean, scoring defense, passing defense, total defense, still a top five situation this past year. And that's hard to believe considering you were five up, 11 down. Now, we know that a lot of those missing components are no longer part of this football team. But let's get back to the Super Bowl. What was it? What was the final of this year's Super Bowl? 13-3? Maybe? I have to look back. What? How do you go from 41-33 to 13-3? That's what we did in the Super Bowl. And outside of Nick Foles signing here for $88 million over 4 years, look at the top seven free agents who were signed this past year during free agency. Trey Flowers, $90 million, leaving New England, now in Detroit. C.J. Mosley, out of Baltimore, as a linebacker, now in New York. Landon Collins, the hard-hitting safety, out of New York, now with the Washington Redskins. Anthony Barr, out in Minnesota. Actually, he re-upped with Minnesota. Za'Darius Smith going from Baltimore to Green Bay. Earl Thomas going from Seattle to Baltimore. And then you add Trenton Brown. That's only two offensive players out of the top seven in obviously a supply and demand scenario that we like to call free agency. But that doesn't smell to me like the offensive game. That doesn't smell to me like you better fill all of your weaponry, and no matter what it is that you're lacking, you better find a way to get that done now on the offense. Look at these teams. Teams that have aspirations of going to the playoffs. The Jaguars. These are teams who didn't make it last year, who made these moves. Detroit, Jacksonville, NYJ, Washington, Green Bay, Oakland, Baltimore. You're talking about teams that, for the most part, were non-playoff contenders in 2018 outside of Baltimore. You know, the exception of the rule would be Minnesota. And they had a disappointing year after spending all that money the year prior with Kirk Cousins. Okay, what does that mean? Let's get to tomorrow night's draft. If Kyler Murray doesn't go number one, we're going through defense, 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 defense again. Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams, Devin White, Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat, Rashawn Gary, Christian Wilkinson. The list goes on and on and on. So, is it just a fluke? It may be. You know, I haven't looked back year after year after year after year to see the percentage of free agents, the top 10, were they offensive or defensive players, and the NFL draft, were they offensive or defensive players. We know this year, though, outside of quarterback, you're not going to have an offensive player go in the top 10 unless it's the Jaguars selecting either the tight end T.J. Hockenson or perhaps a tackle. If the Jaguars don't elect to do that and go the defensive line, I feel really confident right now that out of the top 10 picks that'll go tomorrow night, the only position that you will see land on the offensive side of the football will be quarterback. That's pretty scary, and there's all sorts of rumors. Dan Snyder reportedly is taking over the first round again for the Washington Redskins. Can you imagine being in the District of Columbia? If you are, you're getting ready for Game 7, which is coming up in just a couple of minutes, between the Carolina Hurricanes and the defending Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. That's your primary focus tonight in D.C., but tomorrow night you'll be back on the draft. You got to be worried about Dan Snyder. You got Oakland today kind of leaking that they're on the cusp of making a major surprise. Spent a lot of time here talking, perhaps even over-talking, divas in the NFL. Divas who force their way from one team to another, yet still find a way to send a scud or two back to where they formerly were. If there was ever a diva organization right now in the National Football League, it is the Oakland Raiders. They are just starving for attention. And they have three first-round draft picks. I mean, they're really prostituting themselves to media coverage. I don't know if they're trying to sell tickets. I don't know if this is coming from above and this is, you know, something that is designed or planned to create a little bit of hype after the disaster that they were a part of a year ago, but they've acquired first-round picks. They have an extra one because of Khalil Mack. They have an extra one because of the wide receiver that they traded.
Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, going from Oakland off to the
Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys, and you know, really put up some good numbers after he made that particular move. But I mean, where's this really coming from this year? So it really sets up for tomorrow night to be something a little bit different than I think we've seen in years past, because I expect there to be a whole lot of movement. And I do know that there have been trades in years past. We talked about it either on Monday or Tuesday night. Out of the last 12 quarterbacks that have been selected in the first round, 11 have come because of a trade. I think we're going to see that at least twice tomorrow night. What does Oakland have up their sleeve going from four to wherever? If they say they're going to make a move and they have a surprise, what else could they do besides trying to go all the way up to number one? Are they interested in Murray? Are they not sold on Carr? We don't know the answer to that question. The Dan Snyder situation from 15 and Washington moving up becomes especially intriguing. You know, the fact that the Giants have 12 draft picks, the fact that the Patriots have 12 draft picks, for the first time almost ever, that organization is talking about moving up in the NFL draft. It's very unusual, yet it sets up for the grand stage, which is coming up tomorrow night, and it is going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. So, Russ Landy's coming up next. We get done with that, we're going to begin to mix you into the program, get you involved, and take your phone calls tonight on it's finally over. I mean, we have spent way too long on it. And again, don't blame us. We didn't put up a 5-11 mark. You got to do what works. And we got way out ahead on the draft talk this year because of the way that the football team did play on the field. That is the way that we reacted to it. And, you know, there's no one to blame. This organization right now hopes to turn things around. And tomorrow night is huge. This organization right now cannot miss tomorrow night. This can't be a Taven Bryan draft selection. That can't be the case tomorrow night. Now, to be fair to Taven Bryan, he was a very late first-round pick. Frankly, this can't be a Leonard Fournette draft situation. What he did as a rookie is good. What he did last year was awful. This has to be a Jalen Ramsey type of pick. They have to absolutely hit a home run on Thursday night. I'll be with you tomorrow night, probably midway through the draft. Going to join you at 10 o'clock. Denny and James will have Thursday night off. So I'll be joining you at, tomorrow night coming up at 10, and we'll go until midnight. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll be able to react as to what the Jaguars did do. And also look ahead to what is planned for them coming up on Friday as well as Saturday. So I will get to your phone calls. If you want to get in now, you can text line 641-1010. You can hit me on Twitter as well, Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, at 1010XL. Actually, the Twitter is at Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010XL. So let's stay with the draft. Obviously, it's coming up tomorrow night. It's the biggest story in the world of sports. Russ Landy will join Rick Ballou as we continue right here on 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I think a lot of people have said that the couple of days before the draft, no matter what you hear, just don't believe it. I'm a very gullible person. I can't buy into that. Right now, my head is spinning, and yours should be, too. Jaguar fans, you'll know tomorrow night, about 25 hours, maybe 25 and a half hours or so, you should know if the Jags do sit at number 7 among all the rumblings is that perhaps for the first time ever this organization could trade down from the number 7 spot, maybe try to acquire a pick. Obviously, they would acquire a pick, but maybe another frontline pick, a second and or third round. If they could move down a couple of spots, I know Denver's been rumored. Dan Snyder in Washington has been rumored. We shall see. Cincinnati, this talk, maybe they want a quarterback at 11. Let's bring in Russ Landy, former NFL scout, does a fantastic job with sports management worldwide, and it's great to have him back with Rick Ballou here in Jacksonville. Russ, thanks for a couple of moments. How are things?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Man, you know, where the excitement is here after a 5-11 season, waiting for the NFL draft has been a very, very long time.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it seems like it's around the corner, but that last month seems to take forever.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, I was just talking about free agency. You look at the top 10 guys who signed the money. It was really dominant this year with key defensive players, you know, outside of Nick Foles here and Trent Brown going to Oakland. And, you know, outside of quarterback, that's really the case that you can make tomorrow night with the top 10 picks. Could have as many as maybe 8 defensive players going.
Yeah, I mean, the draft this year is uncommon in terms of the strength defensively. And I think it's a little disappointing. I mean, if you're looking at in terms of quarterbacks, there's really no guy that you can say, wow, this is Andrew Luck or this is one of those quarterbacks that you have to take at number one overall. Not that teams won't, but I think it's not a year where there's two or three elite guys that every team in the league insists are franchise-type quarterbacks.
The fact that, you know, 1, 2, and 3, Arizona, San Francisco, and New York, and I understand that stories are planted and others are leaked, but there have been rumblings out of each and every one of those organizations that they could trade. Does that really kind of back up what you just said? Maybe there isn't a true cut number one player on this year's board?
Well, I think it's a combination of there's not a true quarterback that's above everybody else, and the fact that there's so much defensive talent. I think a number of teams sit there and say, well, yeah, we'd love to get Bosa, but if we ended up with Sweet, we'd be happy too. And to us, it's not worth trading an extra first-round pick to move up 6 spots to get that guy.
Yeah.
So I think when you have that much talent on the defensive side of the ball, or if it were the opposite too, that much talent on the offensive side of the ball, I just think you would see that teams wouldn't be, and they aren't here, ready to trade up and give up a lot of draft picks when they think they can get similar talent without having to trade up.
You've been doing this for years. I've been doing it for years, and these rumors happen every season. Then there's a lot of times where almost nothing does take place and there's very little activity. I know there's been some the last couple of years, but I'm just really forecasting tomorrow night to be out of control. I expect there to be quite a few trades early in this draft. How do you see it?
You know, I tend to agree with you. I think there's going to be a number of trades, and I think it really is going to come down to the fact that there are certain players, guys like Bosa, Williams, Josh Allen, that I think a number of teams view different than most of the other elite players in this draft because they're so versatile. So I think you're going to see teams trading up to get those guys. And like I mentioned with the quarterbacks, because there's not a consensus as to which quarterback is the best one above all the rest, a team that needs a quarterback has to identify and go get their guy because mm-hmm. they don't know who's going to be there and what teams may trade ahead of them. So I think you're going to see two or three teams, be it the Giants, the Bengals, one of those teams that might view this as their best chance to get a quarterback they really like while they're close to the top of the draft. I think you're going to see them be aggressive about going to get the guy they may want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's going to be a ton of movement this year.
What do you think is going to happen with Kyler Murray tomorrow night?
I mean, if I were a betting man, I'd say he goes to Arizona. I've spoken to a lot of people over the past month. Nearly everybody that I trust says they feel Arizona's taking him. Only one guy that I trust, and I trust this guy a ton, thinks it's a smokescreen, thinks there's no chance he'll take Murray. Mm. But he's the only one. Everybody else seems to think it's almost a fait accompli.
Well, you know, a friend of ours, and he could be a friend of yours as well, Pete Prisco, said that he was told he doesn't think it's going to happen. Now others are saying they believe it is. So it does make for, you know, a fantastic Thursday leading up to all this. But if not, obviously they go defense, and it's Nick Bosa. A guy that's been mentioned here in Jacksonville, and he'd have to fall now, is Ed Oliver. We see him a lot with New York at 3, but maybe the Jets could trade that pick or select the Josh Allen. Just give me your thoughts there on whether or not you believe Ed Oliver could be there for the Jags at 7.
Well, I think it's definitely possible. I mean, I think in a draft like this where you have so much elite defensive talent for one guy to slip a little bit, yeah, it's definitely possible, especially a guy that may not fit everybody's scheme. I mean, Ed Oliver, for all his talent, trust me, he is a freak of nature in terms of athletic talent. He's not a massive human being. So if you're a team that's relying on big defensive linemen, you want your guys to be 6'3", 6'4", 3'10", and above, Oliver's not going to fit what you're looking for. So teams may pass on him, not that he's not good enough to play in the NFL, but that he does not really fit what they're looking for. So I think there's definitely a chance a guy like Oliver could slip down to 7. And it's not to knock his talent, just to knock where he fits in the number of schemes in the NFL.
Russ Landy, our guest, joining us on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Rick Ballew. Of course, Russ, former NFL scout. He is with Sports Management Worldwide. A guy whose name has picked up a lot of steam here the last week has been Jonah Williams, the one-time right tackle at Alabama earlier in his career, played left tackle recently. Some teams have him as a guard. He's saying he's going to be a left tackle. What's your opinion on Jonah Williams as far as the offensive lineman in this draft class?
You know, I like Williams. I don't think he's one of those guys that's of the caliber of a guy you got to jump up and take in the top five or six picks in the draft. But I like Williams. I think what you get with him is a fundamentally sound kid, versatile, because he's played both sides of the line, like you talked about. He's not, and this is, I think, where he sort of gets hurt, is people say, well, he's not an elite athlete. Yeah, he's not a world-class Orlando Pace, John Ogden athlete, but he's a good athlete. He is not a bad athlete who's slow-footed or anything like that. He can move his feet. He can slide and adjust. Would you like him to be a little bit more agile? Yeah, probably a little bit. But I think overall, this is a kid that's going to start in the league. And I really don't believe in the right tackle, left tackle anymore. I think with the pass rushers that come off the edge, if you can play tackle, you can play either side. I really put a lot of that on the coaches. Coaches have to know that if they have a guy who has certain strengths and weaknesses, but he has the talent to play a tackle position, coach to his strengths so that he can be effective there. I think this kid has the tools to be an effective tackle, solid, good starter in the NFL.
See, I don't think they're going to go offensive line. I think they're going to go tight end or the best defensive player that's on the board. But if they selected him and put him at left tackle, I've talked with Cam Robinson many times. Cam Robinson has been only a left tackle in high school, college, and in the pros before his injury a year ago. All of a sudden, Russ, you're talking about a big problem. And you know, I work with Leon Searcy, who was a right tackle and a great one. I work with Tony Boselli, who was a tremendous left tackle. And I don't think the average fan realizes how different it is to go from one side to the other if they've only been playing that one side. And that's the case for Cam Robinson.
There's no question. It's a huge difference. I mean, that's where Sir Jonah Williams has sort of an advantage, because he did flip in college. He's played both sides, so he comes in having done that. For guys who have never flipped to the other side, it is a dramatic change. And a lot of guys, it really takes a whole offseason of work playing at that other position, taking snaps during the offseason training, taking snaps in training camp and preseason games, just to get to where they're starting to feel comfortable. It's not as easy said as people make it sound. I mean, it really is a unique thing. I think the big thing with Robinson, also, you're talking about coming back from injury now. This is a kid that he's more of a guy that I've always, when I watched him play, he's sort of a by-the-numbers guy. He knows when this happens, I do this. He's not a guy who I don't think adjusts very consistently. So now to put in, and when I say adjust, with the changes in front of him. So now if you're going to make him switch to the other side, making him adjust to changes in-game at a position he's never played before, that to me would be very scary, unless they've already told him and he started working at right tackle and he's going to do that all offseason, because it's not an easy adjustment, like you said.
Yeah, no question about it. Tom Coughlin is as old school as they come, and you can use any cliche you want, but you know the track record on Tom is pretty simple. He's never really looked at a tight end and drafted one that early in his career. And, you know, we spoke with him just a couple of days ago about the possibility, and, you know, we got the obligatory best player available answer. But, you know, at one point he kind of expanded on it and said a lot of tight ends have been passed over, and he sure teens ended up regretting that. So just give me your thought, Russ, on TJ Hockenson and whether or not you believe that he's a guy that the Jaguars will take tomorrow night.
You know, he's a guy, I think, because I know a lot of people are comparing him and his teammate Noah Fant. I think Hockenson, without question, is the guy that the Jaguars would prefer. Because you talk about Coach Coughlin and even Coach Marone. Even though Coach Marone likes to throw the ball, that is an old-school team. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to control the clock. They want to physically dominate their opponent and have efficient, effective quarterback play. Well, Hockenson is the better blocker of the two tight ends coming out this year that are going to be first-round picks. He's a good athlete. His routes are very sharp. He knows how to use his hands and his body to create separation. He's got natural hands. And I think the other thing that people have to realize is Hockenson, just like Fant, they both come from Iowa. Iowa is one of the best schools at teaching tight ends the fundamentals. If you look over the years, even at some of the guys that weren't high draft picks of Iowa tight ends that came in the league, a lot of them lasted 8, 10, 12 years as backups because they're so well coached. When you watch Hockenson play, you can tell he knows the fundamentals. He's a very good athlete. He's a natural receiver. You can use him in a lot of roles. As an inline tight end, you can motion him across as a wing back. You can even put him as a fullback if you want to do that in certain alignments. I mean, this is a really athletic kid. I think he'd be a great fit for the offense that Coach Marone runs down there in Jacksonville.
All right, Russ, wrap it up with this. How do you think the dominoes fall tomorrow night? What do you think the Jaguars do at number 7?
you know, I think it really is going to come down to deciding for them, do they feel comfortable with Ed Oliver in terms of size fitting in their scheme? Because they tend to play a bigger defensive line. They tend to want guys who are 310, 320, if you look at a lot of the guys along their line that they've had. Or if they don't feel comfortable with him, do they feel comfortable finally going the route of the tight end? Because I really think Oliver and Hockenson are definitely going to be there, and that could be their decision right there. If it's me and I'm their defense based on what I've seen, I'd probably lean towards Hockenson because I just don't know if Oliver's as sound a fit in their scheme. Now, I'm not in their room, so they may already be talking about how they're going to make it work with him. So that's their decision. But in terms of what I see from an outsider's point of view, I just think Hockenson makes more sense than an Ed Oliver there.
Yeah, you make an interesting point, Russ. Malik Jackson lost a little bit of weight last year, and he was getting moved around a little bit at the three technique, and they're going to move Taven Bryan from outside to inside there. But we don't know if he's going to be the answer. He didn't really get tested at that position in 2018. So that'll be very, very interesting tomorrow night. Absolutely. It'll be fascinating, in my opinion. Russ, always some great stuff. Thank you so much for the time.
You got it. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
There he goes. Russ Landy joining us, former NFL scout, and he is now with Sports Management Worldwide. The three technique. Just imagine that for a moment. Okay, let's all settle in here. Let's imagine that Ed Oliver's available. All right, let's say Murray goes one. Let's say Bosa goes two. Let's say the Jets draft Josh Allen. They want the kid off the edge out of Kentucky. All right, number four, the Raiders. Who knows what the hell they're going to do? Let's say they draft Quinnen Williams out of Alabama. I don't think Tampa can let the LSU linebacker Devin White get away. I think they believe he's going to be the foundation of that defense for the next decade. Number six is the New York Giants, and that comes very interesting because they could do a whole lot of things, including trade out. And I just talked today that maybe they'll draft Daniel Jones at six after yesterday's discussion that they're not going to draft a quarterback at six. They're going to wait until number 17 to draft the quarterback, which I think is beyond stupid. If your quarterback is good enough to be a franchise guy at number 17, why in the hell is he good enough to be selected at number 6? Why would you let him get away? That's New York. That's their problem. Certainly not mine. So what if Ed Oliver is around? What if he's there at 7? Which way are you going? You going Ed Oliver? You going TJ Hockenson? Or are you going best tackle available? In this case, there's been some red flags with Juwan Taylor out of Florida. Our belief would be it's Alabama's Jonah Williams. Imagine the possibilities tomorrow night if those three are in play for the taking at number 7 when the Jaguars are on the clock. All right, let's come back. Let's get you involved on it. This is your last opportunity to do so. Grab some of your calls at 641-1010. Ballou and LeVay, we're going to make our pick as well. You want to join us on the text line, 641-1010. You want to hit me up on Twitter, BALLOU1010XL. Tonight's show is brought to you by Key Buick GMC. They got tremendous deals ongoing right now over there at Key, and that includes a lifetime warranty if you buy a brand new Buick or GMC. You can also save up to $14,000 on the 2018 GMC Sierra. Make sure you visit the folks over at Key, right across from Tinseltown on Gate and Southside. Our picks on tomorrow night's pick are coming up, and your phone call, 641-1010. We go into the night with Rick Ballou.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, good stuff with Russell Andy. Appreciate him joining us. Got a 9 o'clock tonight. Again, tomorrow night, 10 to midnight. That'll be midway through the first round. Jags should have their pick in unless they trade down, which is a possibility. Got a really bad throat. I feel like I'm losing the voice. This is not the time of year I want to lose the voice. Not come draft time. but I've been chowing down those cough drops, and they're kind of a strawberry taste to it. And they're good. Is that a problem when I start eating cough drops, but it's like candy to me?
Just for the joy of it?
Yeah.
I think that's a problem.
But I think it's done something to the vocal cords, kind of numbed them up a little bit. And I just feel like I've got no burst. You know, it's kind of like a soft tissue injury. It's not about pain tolerance with my voice tonight. It's about burst. I don't know if I could yell if I had to. I don't think I could hit the high note tonight. If you start playing some Bee Gees, LaVey, or something along those lines, I don't think I'm going to be able to step in.
I can take those soprano roles for you.
Yeah, the way that I normally do and hit the high note.
I've been known for my pipes, Rick.
Mm-hmm. But that's where we're at. So anyway, it is, you know, I play hurt. I play hurt, especially into the night with Rick Ballew. All right, Ballew and LaVey, we're going to make our picks here in just a couple of minutes. Let's get you involved with the show. Let's grab a couple of these calls. Man, you've had weeks, you've had months to chew on this. Diehard Jag fans, you've heard everything. I mean, you have. Do you remember the language way back when it was, oh, the Jaguars absolutely have to take the best offensive player available? All the injuries, all the concerns, it doesn't matter where you go. You've got to grab yourself the best offensive player. Probably not going to have a running back go in the first round tomorrow night. You may not have a wide receiver go in the first round tomorrow night, although I think Metcalf will go pretty high, and there may be a late run, you know, once you get to like 27, 28. Again, tackles may not go all the way until number 13 tomorrow night. A tight end will go in the first round. That's Hawkinson. He could end up here. And then, of course, quarterbacks, there's always the panic with teams. I believe you'll end up seeing four quarterbacks go in the first round of tomorrow night's draft. Let's grab some of your thoughts on this. Which way do you think the Jags will go tomorrow night? 641-1010 is the number. Let's go to Brad. Brad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing today?
Good, Brad.
I think your voice sounds great. It sounds like you got honey in your voice.
Ah, there you go.
I'm a fellow FSU alum like you, so go Noles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to draft an interior lineman because I feel like we're giving up on Taven Bryant, and it shows that was a wasted pick last year. I personally want T.J. Hockenson, or I'm hoping that Nick Bosa falls to us.
Well, the only way Nick Bosa will fall to you is if he continues to talk politics and that they refuse to draft him out in San Francisco, because he's already said he's no longer going to do that. But I don't think there's a chance in the world that Nick Bosa is going to fall that far. I think he'll end up being either the first or second player chosen.
Well, I agree with the scout before us that Ed Oliver doesn't fit our scheme.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting point of view, and he's been doing it forever. He's been doing it for decades. He's a former NFL scout. It is an interesting point of view. I happen to think Ed Oliver is so special as a football player that if they go any direction at all, Brad, outside of T.J. Hockenson tomorrow night, I really hope it ends up being Ed Oliver. But, you know, we'll see what takes place.
Agreed. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate your call. Thank you. 641-1010. He opens up a line. As a matter of fact, he got open lines if you'd like to get on in. How about that story with Nick Bosa? The fact that he's a conservative and that he praises Donald Trump, he's been getting destroyed. He's also called Colin Kaepernick before a clown and things along those lines. Well, you know, there's a lot of talk that he could be going to San Francisco. For those of you who do not know, they're a tad bit liberal in those parts. Can you imagine being a 21-year-old saying, I'm going to keep my political opinions to myself from here on out, so please draft me? I mean, wow, the power of social media. I've heard a lot of crazy things that have been said by athletes before, including Jim McMahon when he was drafted by the Chicago Bears, when he said the best thing about Provo, Utah was seeing it in my rearview mirror. And there's always been things that have been said that are kind of strange and maybe intriguing, but, you know, here's a guy now that's forewarning everyone in that market I'm not going to talk about my politics. Draft me. And in a way, he's smart. He really is. What I just said right there, I guarantee when I check the text line here momentarily, there'll be a couple of knuckleheads that'll say, keep it to sports, Baloo, even though I was referencing a major story that is going on in a huge media market in the Bay. That's how sensitive people are when you talk about politics. And, you know, I love the fact that especially if it's sports, whether it's a talk show host or someone in sports, it's as if they're only sports and they can't have an opinion on what's going on around them. But obviously he was coached on this. I got to believe someone, you know, his brother plays in L.A. Someone got to him and said, Nick, just quit it. Quit going to Twitter. You're not going to make any friends. And our unfortunately, our country is so divided right now. When you pick a party, the others are going to be brutally upset with you, regardless of what you say. So just don't say anything at all about that. But he's kind of come back here in the 11th hour and been like, hey, I love my meeting with San Francisco. It was great. I'm sure Nick Bosa thinks tonight he could go in number one to Arizona. If not, he's certainly going number two to San Francisco. Can you imagine if there was an outcry in San Francisco and people were picketing saying, you can't draft this guy. He's a conservative. He likes President Trump. He's tried to defuse that before the draft. Talk about weird times in our life. I mean, we've seen draftable players recently defend my motor's not always running. I smoked marijuana in high school. You can go to the Joe Mixon battered women situation of 2 years ago, a very serious offense. So you can have small little misdemeanors to very serious would-be felonies that athletes coming out of college have been either proven to do or alleged to do. And they've had to fight their way through it. This guy, Nick Bosa, it's something that he tweeted out that he has to try to put out that fire before the draft. Really bizarre. Beyond bizarre. All right, Matt LaVey. Jaguars are up at number 7 tomorrow night on the clock. Who are they picking?
I think they're going to lean towards that tackle position, Rick. I think they're going to go with either Juwan or Jonah Taylor. Jonah Williams. I think they go with Jonah Williams, actually.
Jonah Williams. All right, and a little caveat for you.
Do it.
Here's a guy who started as a true freshman at Alabama at right tackle. He has since moved to the left side. And he has been a left tackle. The conversation I just had with Russ Landy, and you're well aware of the fact that Cam Robinson is a left tackle, has only played that position in high school, college, and with the Jaguars. If they draft Jonah Williams, what do you believe? Does he move to the left side, or does he go back over to the right side?
I think he winds up going back over to the right side.
Okay. A lot of people tend to agree with you on that. Again, I'm looking at my social media right now. I got a lot of people saying, no, if they draft Jonah, he's staying at right. Cam's staying at left. Well, we don't know that. You don't know that. I don't know that. Okay, we don't know. I mean, remember when they selected Cam Robinson? We thought he might have been a right tackle then because they had acquired Brandon Albert, who was here for about a week. Brandon Albert was here about as long as a Kardashian typically holds on to a boyfriend. Up and gone. Well, thank you. And I'll never forget being in Foxborough during that 3-day workout with the Patriots. And Brandon Albert was AWOL. And we talked with Tom Coughlin that day. Cam Robinson was in as your starting left tackle. You know, Cam came in a little bit heavy last year, and he got injured. I really think he's going to have a big-time season. He's got to. he's got to see the money that's being thrown around. He's a second-round draft pick, which means the team can't put that fifth-year option on him the way that you can with first-round draft picks. So he's staring at huge money if he's healthy and ready to go in year three, this year. If he's a turnstile or if he comes in pudgy, then he could be, delete this. I'm going to say it. Block it. He could be Luke Jokel part two. Oh, man. And let's hope that's not the case. I really think Cam's going to have a good year. All right. I'm going to go the other way here. I think they're going to draft Ed Oliver. I do. I don't believe that Tom Coughlin is going to draft a tight end with the seventh pick in the NFL draft. I just don't believe it. I have to see it. And if Ed Oliver is snatched up early in this draft, and let's say he goes to the Jets, in my scenario, I got Murray going, then Bosa going, then I got Josh Allen going, third overall to the Jets. And if Oliver's there, they take him as a three technique. I'll love the pick. Honestly, I would rather have TJ Hawkinson. But I'm trying to be logical with my decision. I do not believe that Tom Coughlin is going to draft a tight end with the seventh player in this draft. I just don't see it. And if there was ever a year that this organization really, truly had to make a decision that is a little bit against the norm, it's this year. And that would be the pick. And that's my opinion. But I'm going to go with Ed Oliver tomorrow night. So LeVay is in with Jonah Williams, the tackle out of Alabama. I will take Ed Oliver, the three technique out of Houston. That leaves TJ Hawkinson out there. But again, we will see. If Ed Oliver's gone, I'm going to go Hawkinson then. But honestly, who knows what they're going to end up doing. The Jonah Williams situation, I think, is very valid. I think that's picked up a lot of steam over the last couple of days. You know, we talked about how does he really fit into that offensive line threshold. We did a lot of work with that. Our friend Drew Goodell joined us on it.
Zach Goodall.
Put in a lot of effort, a lot of work, did Zach, and, you know, showed us that it doesn't fit into their drafting threshold, arm length, things along those lines. And I think there's something to the science involved in this pick. But that's what makes it even more intriguing coming up tomorrow night. All right, when we get ready for hour number two, more on the draft. A little bit on Tom Coughlin. I got a different spin on it. Going to get your opinion on it. And game seven. It is already going on right now in the District of Columbia. The defending Stanley Cup champions are wasting no time. They have put up two goals already. The Capitals up here over the Hurricanes last night. A Boston winner in game seven. And just a disaster in San Jose, between San Jose and Las Vegas, where, believe it or not, the officials, again, the difference in a game. We saw it in basketball. We saw it in the NFC Championship game. Last night, we saw it in the first round of the NHL playoffs in a game seven. So I'll talk about that as well. It's all coming up in hour number two.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key GMC, Key Buick. Right now, the GMC Sierra 1500 truck, that's the 2018 version, save over $14,000 on select trucks in stock. That's up to 25% off on just a beautiful piece of machine. And I should know because I own one. 0% APR up to the first 72 months, $1,500 rebate. I I mean, check it out. Fast, friendly staff. They do a great job over there. Right down the road, very convenient, right there across the street from Tinseltown, Gate and Southside. So whether it is a GMC, whether it's a Buick, make sure you visit them today. And they have a lifetime warranty. You buy a new vehicle over at Key. So that is huge as well. And again, go by and say hello to him. LeVay is going over there. He's telling me you still having problems with your vehicle?
Yeah, actually, truck's still in the shop today. Never had any major issues with it, though, but it's just like over the course of the last 3 months, everything is just piling up.
Yeah, sounds to me like you need a new truck. I've already put you in the right proper direction to get you a new vehicle over at Key. Put that sick one to bed and get you something new. The 2018 GMC Sierra 1500. Again, save over $14,000 right there on Southside and Gate. All right. I want to get the football here. The voice is just leaving me. I can feel it leaving me. But as long as it doesn't bother you, that's all I really care about. I'm having trouble with voice inflection. You know what I mean? And I want to bring up Tom Coughlin because he has been warned today by the NFL. And he received the letter, and it was a reprimand, and it was the common, if you do this again, you will be fined or, you know, I guess possibly suspended or something along those lines. I love the fact that Coughlin's the bad cop. And frankly, this team needs one. They really do. I mean, I made a point last hour about Nick Boza, who's got to jam everything up now because he's speaking conservatively. And you can't do that. You can't speak as a conservative. People are going to yell. Everywhere we go, it's about making it a little bit more fair for everyone. The collective bargaining agreement. Let's make it a little bit more fair for the players. And you got guys that are holding out. You got guys that aren't showing up. And people are going crazy about it. You know, it's voluntary. Okay. With a nod, you're supposed to be there. I'm not going to go down that road again tonight. What is right? What is wrong? It was written into the latest collective bargaining agreement. And I understand that. And I accept it. I honestly don't have a problem with Jalen Ramsey not being here. I do have a problem with Telvin Smith not being here. My issue there is that Jalen's the best at what he does. Telvin struggled a year ago. Nothing is fair when you get to big-time athletics like this, when you are paid professionally. Telvin Smith carries nearly a $13 million cap figure for 2019. As far as I'm concerned, he should be here. But I love the fact that Tom Coughlin is playing the bad cop. Tom Coughlin's a smart guy. Tom Coughlin has made changes before, including here. He made changes with Michael Strahan. He made changes after the fallout with Tiki Barber. You talk to a former player, and there's many here who live in town. They'll give you the good. They'll give you the bad. They'll give you the pick-me-up moments, and they'll give you the horror stories. We've become too nice. We've become too equal. Player to organization, player to coach. There still has to be the teaching mechanism that takes place. And part of that is discipline. Part of that is flat out pissing you off. This freaking team won 5 games. Took a lot of crap from some of my Tallahassee folks for a month or so ago saying I saw way too much laughing. Way too much smiling. You were 5-7. You disgraced my alma mater. You were awfully coached. You were not in position. And you were all about me. And I don't care if you did spring ball in March and it's months away from the start of the regular season. I want to know that guys are working hard. I want to know that it's a grind. I want to know that you hate getting through those days. Because that's the way it was when I played. And I played at a minuscule high school level. I hated football practice. If you ever met anyone who really enjoys football practice, I enjoyed hockey practice. That was fun. Skate around and take some slappers. I enjoyed baseball practice. Take a couple grounders here. Hit some fly balls. Shag a few balls. Now, in both sports, if we lost, we skated or we ran. Frankly, I think we ran way too much as a baseball team, but whatever. I despised football practice. Whoever is in their life liked football practice. I can't imagine what it's like practicing football in that 100-degree temperature here in Jacksonville. And back when Coughlin had that camp running, okay, they went away in year one. Year two, 96. Back when it was that particular way where you had true two-a-days, there's not supposed to be a comfortable feeling. I didn't like what I saw out of Tallahassee. That totally disappointed me. The smiling, the laughing, the alumni flag football games, all this crap. You won freaking five games. Don't give me that crap. Fix the damn program. Same thing here. Everyone's whining about equal rights for the players. Jacksonville needs a bad cop. After a 5-11 season, they need someone to go out there and kick some ass. So let Coughlin receive a letter and a reprimand and a hand slap. I want it to be uncomfortable. I want it being known right now that jobs are on the line. That you better do yours, or they're going to get someone in there to replace you. I just can't believe how passive a losing fan base has become about these two issues. And I'm speaking to a lot of people my age or around my age. And the blame, again, always goes on the kids. Well, if you're a passive dad or a passive mom, and you accept this, and you accept that, oh, the kids should be heard. Oh, the kids should have fun. Well, of course they're going to act that way. And then you frown at discipline. Florida State needs a Mickey Andrews. Where the hell was he? They brought him back and he did nothing. He was like a meme. They need a Chuck Amato. They need a late Wayne McDuffie. Bobby Bowden was the nicest human being ever put on this planet, but he had guys under him who kicked ass. Same thing now with the Jaguars. Doug Marrone is known as a tough guy. Doug Marrone a year ago showed me that he's more of a player's coach. He took every punch. Every time something went wrong with the football team, Doug Marrone took responsibility for it. I can't believe these legions of Jaguar fans who have been around here for all of these disappointing years are all of a sudden down on Tom Coughlin because he made a very generic comment. Bravo to him. He knew exactly what he was doing. And again, I have no problem with Jalen missing it. I wish he was here. I have no problem with him missing it. But you know as well, if Leonard Fournette missed it, you would have been peeved. You wouldn't have gone down the CBA rights. You wouldn't have played that tune. It's different for you, too, when it comes to players. You have a different opinion. And the common thought right now is that Jalen can do whatever he wants. And I tend to agree with that. He's that special. But the Telvin situation does not sit well with me. Telvin Smith should be here. I think a lot of people believe he ends up getting traded coming up on Saturday once we get through the first three rounds. We'll see what ends up happening. All right, we're going to get to Truth Teller News and Notes in just one moment. I do need to spend a minute on this because it was so important. And if you do not know what I am talking about, once again, we had a major situation in an event in sports that was completely fractured by the officiating. Took place last night in San Jose. If you have no idea what I am talking about, Vegas had a 3-0 lead with 12 minutes to go. There was a cross-check penalty last night by Cody Egan that put Joe Pavelski to the ice, smacked his head on the ice. He was bloody. Run into as well by Stastny. He was really off balance. It was kind of a fluke situation because it was a normal cross-check. And it wasn't to the head, it was to the chest. But he lost balance and he smacked his head on the ice and he really hurt himself. Well, a 5-minute major was called because it was blood and it was one of the shock value situations that we see. Think helmet to helmet in football, because I understand it happened at 1 a.m. and I'm talking hockey here, so unfortunately I'm only talking to probably about 5% of the audience. But it's not about hockey, it's about officiating. So an awful call was made. What happens? Sharks score 4 goals in 10 minutes. Vegas comes back to tie it with less than a minute to go, going to overtime, San Jose wins. But here we go again. The foul, the non-foul in the national title game, college basketball, or in the Final Four. The NFC Championship game, the non-call pass interference. We keep getting to major sporting events where the referees, umpires, and officials cannot get it right. A 5-minute major, for those who don't understand the sport of hockey, when you have a 5-minute major, if you have a 2-minute minor and a goal is scored, the power play is over. A power play is a 5-on-4. You score a goal. Let's say you score a goal 20 seconds into the 2-minute power play. Guy comes out of the box. You're back 5-on-5, equal strength. When you have a 5-minute major like you had last night in San Jose, you serve 5 minutes of your penalty time, regardless if a goal is scored. They scored 4 goals. 4 goals. They had a 3-0 lead. Did Las Vegas with 12 minutes to go, and they lost that game last night at the hands of the referees. Just wanted to share that with you. So if you kind of follow things in unison now, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, and now the divisional round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, all decided here by the whistle, or the lack thereof. And to make things even that much more interesting, because we were on the air last night for it, LeVay, I remember telling you, in the Bruins' 5-1 victory last night over Toronto, not one penalty was called in the entire game. Not one. That is written into hockey lore. You do not call a penalty on a Game 7. And in this case, they had to because it was a cross-check and the guy went down. But it should have been a 2-minute minor, not a 5-minute major. All right, news and notes, truth teller style, brought to you by our good friends at truckcrashlaw.com. Coming up next, we got a ton to do in the NFL. All of the latest NFL draft rumors, they are coming up next right here with Rick Ballew on 92.5 FM.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, programming note, tomorrow night, 10 to midnight. Yes, excited about it. Jaguars will have a player, unless they trade down, which is a viable option. Something that has been kicked around for a little while. Dave Caldwell has always been one that has talked about this, whether it's trading up, trading down, and is this the year? that the Jaguars do that. If Ed Oliver was gone, if they don't believe that T.J. Hockenson is worthy of that seventh pick, if they believe that they can get, let's say, an offensive lineman, whether it's Jonah Williams or anyone else that they have ranked, Andre Dillard, a lot of people believe that he's the best true left tackle in the draft. Could you swap with Cincinnati at 11? Or maybe Miami wants to move up to get a quarterback at 13. Possibly Washington. We'll talk about this here momentarily with Dan Snyder. He's taken over the first round of the draft. Can you imagine if Shad Khan announced that he was taking over the first round of the draft? I don't have the dislike for Dan Snyder that a lot of people do. Not sure why. I remember seeing him in, I've met him a few times when the Jags have been there, but I saw him in, what's that famous restaurant in Indy? St. Elbow's? Must have been there for the combine when I saw him. I just automatically have affection for anyone who's smaller than I am. And I know I could dunk on Dan Snyder. I know I could go in with a two-hand jam. I know I could run him. I know I could pop a Damian Lillard 37-footer on him. Nothing but net. By the way, LeVay, what a bad shot. I mean, and this is why I love sports. And this is why I love the sports media. And this is why I love sports fans. Because it's a tie game, and I understand that he was on. He had 50 points. I think he was 17 to 33 from the field or whatever it was, something close to that number. So he's shooting around 50%. They got a 1 out of 2 chance of making it if you throw it up. But if that shot doesn't go in, every Trailblazer fan and everyone who watched this game last night would have said, what a stupid shot by Lillard. Why didn't he work it in? If he was going to take a 3-ball, why didn't he at least go close to the arc? Why did he sit back the way he did and all of a sudden threw a bomb, but it goes in? And it's the exact opposite. Everyone's like, oh, money. That was the greatest shot. It's a walk-off shot. He waved to the crowd. He waved to the OKC bench. It was a bad shot. It was a 37-foot shot. You had all the time in the world to take a high percentage shot. You agree or disagree with that?
I'd agree with that. And Paul George actually called him out about that after the game. And granted, Lillard tweeted at him, not at him, but quoted a tweet talking about that quote of Paul George and said, LOL. So, I mean, when you hit a shot like that, you can say what you want. But, yeah, in retrospect, looking back, that's a bad shot in that moment.
That's why I love sports. Because there aren't many Portland Trailblazer fans here in Jacksonville. That'd be my guess. But there are a lot of NBA fans out there listening. And you may have stayed up and watched that game. And if you're an honest observer, and oh, by the way, you don't have to be if you're a fan. You can do whatever you want, root any way you want, and say, Blue, you don't know what you're talking about. It was a great shot. I was sitting there on the couch. I knew that was going in. Lillard had it going on. Okay. All the power to you. It was a stupid shot from 37 feet out. But it went in. And it makes for an incredible finish.
I bet if you pull 30 of 30 NBA coaches, not a single one of them would want their guy willingly taking a 37-footer at the end of the game.
Not in a tie game when you have a chance to run your offense. I mean, he hung on to that ball for what? 10, 12 seconds?
10 seconds left, yeah. Plenty of time to create something.
Yeah, and again, that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of sports. All right, let's get to the beauty of this. Truth Teller News and Notes. Brought to you each and every night by our good friends over at truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm in the state of Florida where if someone has been injured and it happened out on the road because of an accident with a truck, an RV, a tractor trailer, a bus, anything like that, and it caused serious injury to a family member, a friend, even if a death was involved, make sure you know truckcrashlaw.com. Outstanding people that are there for you in a very difficult moment. And again, hopefully no one has to use them because you're not around a tragedy like this. But if it does occur, I want you to know the name truckcrashlaw.com. These are wonderful people. All right, Corey Legit reportedly visited the Jacksonville Jaguars today. A little bit of depth there on that defensive line. Reportedly, I think it was Big Cat Country who reported this earlier today. Reportedly, he has left as well without signing a contract. So, you know, a little bit of a look there. And, you know, that part is often let go or forgot about. That is the street free agents that are signed post-NFL draft. And we've seen a little bit of activity this week. I mean, look at former Jag T.J. Yeldon going to the Buffalo Bills. But Corey Legit's a guy that could provide some depth. Does he have anything left? We'll see. He did visit earlier today, but, again, did leave without signing a contract. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be around now for at least three more years. Add 2 years to his current deal. It is a $63 million contract over the next two seasons for Big Ben. Yeah, that's pretty good money. I think I'm up to, I believe, the age of 40. So overall, he's got 3 years remaining on his contract. Marshawn Lynch has announced his retirement for the second time now in 3 years. I wonder what's next for Marshawn Lynch. You know, he was very moody with the media. It ended up making him some money. What was it, with Skittles perhaps and something else? He got a pretty good endorsement deal out of it. You know, others have really kind of copied his way, including, you know, Westbrook and the battle he had with the reporter in OKC, the whole next question situation. I mean, Marshawn,
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch really made that, you know, his own style. Ted Williams did it. Steve Carlton absolutely did it. Rasheed Wallace almost never spoke. But out of those three, there was a difference. There was venom. You know what I mean? And I wasn't around. I grew up learning about Ted Williams and Teddy Ballgame. And, you know, Steve Carlton, one of the greatest left-handers that we have ever seen, the game has ever seen, just wouldn't speak to the media. And I heard about all the situations there. And, you know, Rasheed Wallace did it in a very negative type of tone. I think with Marshawn Lynch, it was more of comical. You know, it was like, I just really don't have time for you. And the league says I need to speak with you, so I'm here so I don't get fined. But I think it was always kind of tongue-in-cheek with Marshawn Lynch. And I don't feel that way now with Westbrook either. I'm kind of going back to the days of Rasheed Wallace and others where I really sense a lot of venom there that's going on. Reportedly, the columnist has never said anything really bad about Russell Westbrook. But for one reason or another, he's just taken on to hating him and going after him. And that's disappointing to the fans in OKC. You know, any athlete out there needs to know that when you're shunning and going up against a member of the media, whether it's a writer, a television guy, or us in the radio, it's never going to work. It's almost a badge of honor. It really is. If you're being told that I'm not going to talk to you because I do not like you, that means that whatever it is that I am saying is affecting you. I mean, in my small little world, I'll have people weekly that'll contact me and tell me that I'm a clown or I'm this and I'm that. You know when it really bothers me? Or it should bother me or anyone else? When I respond. If I respond and get into a war of words with you, then you know what? The feeling has got to be, man, he must be insecure. He's responding to me. That's the same thing here with Westbrook. His best bet would be to just answer the question to the local columnist, albeit keep it brief, and move on. Because you're hurting yourself with the fans. The fans want the information from the player. Whenever you get a player boycott to a member of the media, It's not hurting the media. It's hurting the fans of the team because they're not involved in what you're saying. I've never really been able to understand that. I don't know. I don't think it's an intelligence issue. I think the people that we see that do this are pretty smart individuals. I think it's more of a common sense situation. I won't talk to this member of the media, therefore, guess what? He's not going to get the story. Wrong. He's going to get the story. He's going to write whatever the hell he wants, or he's going to talk about whatever the hell he wants to talk about, whether you give him a quote or not. And he's receiving the badge of honor from his boss because you've affected him that way. Makes simple sense. What doesn't make sense is what the hell's going on at both Florida and Georgia. It was the director of player personnel at Florida who was arrested yesterday after, what was it, cyber stalking? Name was Otis Yelverton. Now today it comes out of Georgia where their recruiting program coordinator, I think it's Dakia King, fired, and Lukman Abduya suspended without pay for 30 days. Georgia AD Greg McGarrity refuses to comment on it, but been doing this for a very, 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 very long time. I mean, back-to-back days. You got the assistant director of player personnel at Florida, cyber stalking, and now recruiting program coordinators and director of on-campus recruiting fired and suspended. Very interesting stuff that's going on within the SEC. And in this case, a couple of sad situations. One other note in the NFL as we say goodbye, just to give credit to the Seattle Seahawks, you know, by putting the franchise tag on Clark the way that they did, you realize that they got two draft picks, a first rounder this year and a second rounder next year. If they did not put the franchise tag on them, they would have received a compensatory pick at the end of the third round in 2020. So imagine that. All by placing a franchise tag on a player. That was the difference. And you look at others around the league. I mean, you look at what New England could have done with either Trent Brown if they put a franchise tag on him, or if they put one on Flowers, or, you know, if that was the case in any of these other high-priced situations with free agents who have signed on, what they could have received. You know, Landon Collins, if New York had done that, or Za'Darius Smith, if Baltimore had done that, what they would have received or could have received in a trade compared to the compensatory picks that they will now receive at the end of 2020. All right, there you go. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. They're the only law firm right here in the state of Florida where if someone has been injured or killed out on the road and it happened between a truck or a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus, anything like that, make sure you contact them. They're there for you, okay? Family member, a friend, very difficult situation. Just go to truckcrashlaw.com. All right, we have much more to get into. We'll take it till 9 o'clock tonight, and then we'll get you set for Denny and James as we continue right here with Rick Ballew on 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thank you to Key Buick, Key GMC, bringing you the program here tonight. Again, they got outstanding deals. Save up to nearly 25% on the Sierra GMC. What a truck that is. Save over $14,000. Just go by and visit them. That's on a 2018 Key GMC. And remember, you buy a brand new Buick, you buy a brand new GMC, you're going to get a lifetime warranty on your vehicle. That's the way things are right there on Southside across the street from Tinseltown, on the corner of Southside Boulevard and Gate. So go on by and say hello to them, whether it's tomorrow, rest of the week, into the weekend as well. All right, Denny and James coming up in just a couple of minutes here. They'll be with you in 20 coming up at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Special program. We'll have the Jaguars Radio Network on covering the draft. I'm part of the network as well, but they really don't need the sideline reporter tomorrow night during draft coverage since the draft is in Nashville and they'll be downtown. So what I'm going to do is come on after at 10 o'clock. That'll be midway through probably round one. You got to believe that the Jaguars will select tomorrow night around, what, 9:15? Teams, even though they've had months to prepare for this, typically exhaust their entire time period, and that's not because they don't know who they want to select. It's because they're working the phones to see if there are going to be any trades that are made. I really think there's going to be a lot of activity tomorrow night. You know, I could be wrong on all this. Dan Schneider's involved in it again. I was going to mention him during News and Notes, and I didn't get an opportunity, though. Folks in D.C. who are happy right now, I'll give you the very latest on the hockey game. At last look, it was 2-0. The Caps up over the Hurricanes in a very important game, 7. But the last time that Dan Schneider was involved, the Redskins traded 2 future number ones and a number 2 to move up to get RG3. The word today out of D.C. is that, once again, Dan Snyder involved with the draft process with the Washington Redskins. You know, the other big story that came out today was that expect a major surprise from the Oakland Raiders. What does that mean? You got 3 first-round draft picks. Why would you even leak that to Adam Schefter? I mean, what are you trying to do? I understand planting stories, but there's only 31 other general managers. There's only 31 other decision makers. It's really pretty simple. If you're planning on doing something, and if that something is moving up to 3, 2, or 1, well, then you contact those 3 teams. And if you're considering moving another pick because you have 2 other first-round picks, well, then you deal with the teams that are in front of you. Why do you leak a story so I'm wasting part of my 2 hours tonight bringing up the fact that the Oakland Raiders are promising us a surprise tomorrow? What else could their surprise be outside of moving from 4 to 3, 2, or 1? I mean, a surprise isn't, oh, the Raiders trade back to pick number 19 with Tennessee. That's not a surprise. That's pretty boring. You went from 4 to 19. The only surprise that you could make would be moving from 4 to, again, 1, 2, or 3. And you announce that Carr is not your quarterback, and you go find your QB, which I got to believe in this case is Kyler Murray. So, as far as I'm concerned, leaked story, planted story, anything outside of that that doesn't happen, this is nothing but rubbish. And almost childish. You know, it reeks of a rookie general manager in Mike Mayock and kind of a glory-cut head coach in John Gruden. Can you imagine a Coughlin camp? A Parcells camp, I guess Ditka did say he'd trade everything for Ricky Williams. A Belichick camp, a Mike Tomlin camp. If Mike McCarthy was still in the league, a Mike McCarthy camp announcing, "Oh, expect a huge surprise from us tomorrow night from number 4." This is really stupid by Oakland. Makes very, very, very little sense. It's kind of like a Kardashian move. It's kind of like, you know, look at me. Well, we're going to be looking at you because you have 3 picks in the first round. I mean, you moved Cooper. You moved Mack. You have 2 other first-round draft picks. Of course we're going to be looking at you. The story early on is going to be all about Arizona. And it's going to be all about Kyler Murray. does he go number one? Does a team trade with Arizona to draft him at number one? And if he doesn't go number one, how far does he fall? So Arizona and Kyler Murray become the major story. And they'll be that for a little bit. They'll use their entire allotment of time. And then it could end up being Bosa if he goes number one and Murray begins to fall. But Oakland's going to become the huge story in this draft. They have three first-rounders. Just, man, in a world where less is more, why would they throw something that is so foolish like that out there? Unless there's strategy here. And the only strategy that I could possibly think of. Final year in Oakland. Ticket sales are down. Maybe try to do a little something to spark that local fan base. In their final year that, all right, we're making this move. Go ahead and buy tickets. Outside of that, again, just rubbish, in my opinion. Giants and Patriots each have 12 picks tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, that'd be a record, in this draft. The way that the NFL landscape is built right now, you can't walk out 12 rookies. Not on a 53-man roster. You can have about half that. So there's a lot of capital involved with these two teams. And we know the Giants have two first-round draft picks, which are number 7 and number 16. New England has the 32nd pick, which virtually is a second-rounder. And I want to say they have 6 picks in the top 101, the New England Patriots. Both teams are talking about moving this year. The Pats never move up. This year they package a lot of deals, try to move up in this year's draft. Now, typically you wouldn't be able to move up higher into the first round with a 32nd pick in the first. But they've got 3 second-rounders, and I want to say they got 2 third-round picks. You start packaging all those deals, yeah, they're going to be able to move up a little bit. So I'm looking for kind of a record-setting night. I do not think it's going to go Arizona, San Francisco, New York, Oakland. No, I expect movement after movement after movement. Absolutely keep your eye on Washington now that Dan Snyder's come out with the fact that he is deciding what to do in the first round. I think you keep your eye on Miami at 13 to move up. I think you keep your eye on Cincinnati at 11 to move up. I still believe Denver could be a player in all this at number 10 to move up. As I just went through, I believe New England with multiple second and third round picks and their 32nd pick in the first round could move up. Seems like year after year after year, we have plenty of teams who are willing to move down. The question is always what teams are willing to move up. And the teams that we only ever see move up is to select quarterbacks. I think that'll be the case again tomorrow night. I think they're going to be a surprise pick, too. I wouldn't be shocked if it's all said and done if you see 3 quarterbacks go in the top 10 tomorrow night. And Dan Jones getting a lot of play right now, particularly with New York, which is a little bit of a surprise to me. So, anyway, it's just fascinating. I think they're going to select Ed Oliver. I think he's going to fall. I think this is Jalen Ramsey of 4 years ago. Because I think at least one other team's going to move up to get a QB. So I think 2 quarterbacks are going to go. Murray and Haskins, 2 QBs will go before the Jags select at 7. And then I think obvious picks, Bosa and Williams, will go ahead of them. The Jets is a major problem because the Jets could be Ed Oliver's home. But other reports have them trading. Other reports have them, you know, drafting Josh Allen as either a 3-4 outside linebacker or a guy who can come off the edge. So I'd love it. I'd love it if Ed Oliver went to him as a 3 technique to the Jaguars at number 7. I would also be very excited about the fact if they get their tight end in T.J. Hockenson. Hopefully one of those two ends up going there. LeVay as well came in and said that he thought Jonah Williams would be the pick a guy that has picked up a lot of steam around here as of late, and that you could see the Jaguars end up selecting him as a tackle out of Alabama. And that would be pretty cool to have the Jaguars now with bookend tackles with both Cam Robinson and Jonah Williams. Hey, we'll know tomorrow night. That much we do know. All right, so Denny Thompson and James Coleman getting ready to come up right now. Again, they'll be off tomorrow night. I'll be with you during Thursday night show from 10 up until midnight. So we'll do that with you coming up tomorrow night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, James Coleman is here. Time for the Sports Den.
Yes, a tradition like no other.
What do you got on this? Is that Jameis shirt?
Yes, Jameis. I got a sign on the back. We got Jersey Wednesdays that we're kind of trying to do, and I was going to really stunt on them and wear my All-Star game jersey, but it's where my championship rings are, somewhere in boxes in my house somewhere that I've lived in almost a decade, so I have no idea.
Which, what was it, East-West Shrine or something?
No, they used to have one called the Las Vegas All-American Bowl where I went and had a...
That must have been a fun trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I played a game. You
guys all played hungover?
Yeah, I definitely played hungover and played very well, but... Hopefully this young man that's going to come on today and talk about where he's going, he's already committed. He committed last night. We broke it in the fifth quarter. Derek Bermudez from out of Sandalwood High School. We're going to let him come on and talk about FSU and why he chose that.
Is he already here?
Yeah, he's here. He's in the
back. Yeah, looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, hopefully he won't do what I did.
Now, he's rising now.
Yes. He'll be in 2020 class. He's rising up the ranks. A lot of teams have recruited him, UGA, LSU, Oregon, Miami. And he picked Florida State as well as amongst a lot of other schools. But a lot of talent, heard nothing but great things about the guys from Tallahassee about him. And it's good to have Jacksonville guys at the school, any of the schools, FSU, Georgia, Florida, Miami. It gives you somebody to root for.
Now, I interrupt you. You said hopefully he doesn't do what you did.
Well, when I talk about playing in an All-Star game hungover and drunk, that's just not the best.
Well, hopefully he's so good that he doesn't have to play in those games.
Exactly. He leaves early.
Like, comes out after his junior year, and he's going to New York for the draft.
Exactly.
In this case, I guess Nashville.
Nashville. So we'll also probably talk a little bit more draft, and we'll talk about the NCAA. And it's just a lot of weird stuff. Weird stuff in Georgia. NCAA has lost their mind. Jimbo lying again. We've heard that song before. But it's a lot of things to talk about. Fun times.
I know you guys have shirt. Dad, I didn't get the memo, but I saw LeVay a few hours ago, and I said, what are you doing wearing a Tim Couch shirt?
Yeah, is that a Tim Couch shirt, or was it Johnny Manziel?
No, it's Johnny Football.
I thought it was – that's how old school I am. I thought it was Tim Couch, for crying out loud.
They've had 20 throwback quarterbacks, so, they don't last very long.
One of the funniest moments I ever had in radio was I got a letter when I was working in Tallahassee during the recruitment of Tim Couch from his mother, and I wish I saved it. It was like a poem – turned into a song, and it was one of the most incredible things I had ever seen, but I lost it.
Oh, wow.
During the recruiting process, he was like a five-star.
Yeah.
Can't miss kid when he went to Kentucky back in the day.
Oh, wow. And he chose Kentucky over Florida State?
He chose Kentucky over everyone.
That's interesting.
Certainly did. All right. Look forward to listening to you right now.
All right.
That's James Coleman coming up right now along with Denny Thompson, and that'll be the Sports Den. All right, folks, have a great night. LeVay, I'll see you Friday then. Since you will not be here tomorrow night.
Yeah, Big Country taking over the reins.
Oh, my goodness. Big Country and Blue late on a Thursday night. That'll be 10 to noon. Folks, enjoy the draft. For what it's worth, I'm going to say Ed Oliver falls, and they take him at 7. And what a great draft pick that would end up being for the Jaguars. I'll talk with you tomorrow night from 10 until midnight right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.